This is Terrence Marshall, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the Epic Roster Watch Podcast, brought to you by RosterWatch.com. My name is Alex Dunlap, here with Cody Carpentier as the Roster Watch Training Camp Tour rolls on. Cody, as you can tell, looks very thirsty, very sweaty. He's been all day at practice. Carolina Panthers, New York Jets, joint practices. He's been there at Carolina for the last 2 days, and so wanted to catch up with him today about his thoughts from the training camp tour before he heads up to Canton for the Fantasy Expo and then off to Steelers camp before going to the Vikings. Cody, how are things in Carolina?
Things are good. It's hotter than hell. I didn't wear sunscreen yesterday, so I had to go stop at the old Wally World and get some sunscreen last night, and then I made it out today, and I don't think I got burnt again, but
yeah. Good. Good.
Definitely warm. Definitely not as hot as it is in Texas. I was watching the TV in the hotel last night, which sucks. But the weather said that Texas, Central Texas, was it's like being in an oven right now. So
yeah, not that bad. Yeah, they got this heat dome over us, man. And so yeah, we're all getting burnt up. But listen, we don't want to get burnt by the information that comes from some of these cockamamie beat writers that follow some of these teams. And so that's why we go out on our own training camp tour to as many of these practices as we can. Trash Man this week will be taking in some Texans practices, joint practices with the Dolphins. Byron is heading to Las Vegas for joint practices with the Raiders. And I mean, I forgot.
Niners.
Raiders and Niners. This week he's been seeing the Rams, the Chargers, the Cowboys. So, of course, you'll be hearing from Byron as well. But, yeah, I mean, just wanted to check in with Cody about the Panthers and the Jets. What do you say we start with the Panthers? And, I mean, the first thing, I mean, what about Bryce Young? What does he look like? How does he look out there? What's the word on Bryce Young?
Bryce looks good. He's not, you know, I remember that we got some Drew Brees comps coming in where it was like as far as what he could be. And I did understand that, especially being there watching him in the NFL right now. A lot of short intermediate stuff for Bryce, and he looks good doing it. I think the thing that really kind of pulled him apart was when they had Bryce in, and then they bring Andy Dalton in, and then they bring in Matt Corral. And you really seeing the difference between him and Matt Corral was like, oh, okay, I know where we're playing right now. And Andy Dalton, having that as a good comparison because he's been in the league for over 10 years and just having a good baseline to compare it to, like Bryce is there. He's only going to come on more and stronger and stronger, but he's definitely a hit. He's definitely going to be a guy we're going to be able to depend on once the talent comes up around him. But a lot of, I guess, good way to sum up really him and this offense is a lot of stuff within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage, a lot of dump offs to the right, a lot of Texas routes to the running backs, a lot of intermediate crossers, shallow crossers, slants, lots and lots and lots of that. And then you'll get the occasional deep crosser and some fades to the Sharks of the world, but a lot of close to the line of scrimmage stuff for Bryce. And that's, I think it's only going to help these running backs.
Look, man, I wonder, like, because when you mentioned Texas routes to the, you know, those are obviously running backs. Was it other guys out of the backfield? Do they have like Chenault or something like that? I mean, was it the running backs? And then what was Bryce Young? Like, what was his connection with the running backs in the screen game? That's something that we've kind of talked about and we've surmised could be a good part of his game just based on what he did at Alabama. Is that something that you noticed at all?
So we didn't get a lot of screen viewing, I should say, a lot of screen plays the last couple of days that I've been there. Not saying that hasn't happened, but yesterday was a lot of 7-on-7, then 11-on-11. It was a very tight practice. Some of the beat reporters said it was their best practice. It was their last solo practice before the joint today and tomorrow. And I think that as far as the screen game goes, he's going to be good at it. They just didn't do it a lot the last couple of days. That's not saying they won't, but definitely talking to a couple guys, they said that, you know, our good friend Mike Kay, who covered Miles Sanders in Philadelphia, said that Miles Sanders is exponentially better in the receiving game than when he covered him in Philadelphia. He said in Philadelphia, he could barely catch the football. And here, he's come a long way in doing that. So as far as out of the backfield goes, they worked a lot of Miles Sanders, a lot of Chuba Hubbard. Yesterday, I spoke a little bit about kind of the rotation of how they used Chuba and Sanders, which was literally they do every part of practice would start with a different running back. So phase one, it was Chuba. Phase two, it was Sanders. Phase three, it was they went back and forth.
Like in team?
Yeah, so in like seven team? So like different drills. So like positional drills. Chuba was first. And then it was like 7-on-7, Miles Sanders first. And then 11-on-11, it was Chuba. And then they went and did a different type of 11-on-11, and it was Sanders. It was like they just – every single drill – it was just one of those small, nuanced things where it was like every single drill where they started out to do calling plays and stuff, it was the opposite guy starting. And I kind of caught on that yesterday. I was like, this season's a 50-50 split right now. And so I talked to somebody today about that, and they were like, that's just load management in practice, just trying to keep everybody healthy and keep everybody up. But it was – definitely clear that those two were the guys getting most of the reps. You had some Spencer Brown from UAB getting a lot of work along with Raheem Blackshear out of the backfield. Brown struggled more so out of the backfield catching the football, which is what he's known for, struggling out of the backfield. But Blackshear, Raheem Blackshear from Virginia Tech, I think he was a rookie last year. He's going to have the punt and the kick return job. And so that's going to definitely enhance him as being the third running back on this football team. And
is Peebles healthy?
People's got like one rep out of every 10 touches. I don't think he's going to make the squad. He'd probably be a practice guy if he does make it. But he looks – obviously, you've seen it. He looks 6'2", 6'3", 210. Yeah, he looks great. He looks great. He's just a lot of surface area and really just not a lot of reps, what it comes down to for him right now. But you asked about LaViska. LaViska yesterday ran with the second team in the slot for all 7-on-7, all 11-on-11. And today he was not in pads and didn't really do much of anything in the joint practice. And some were talking about that being kind of like a cover up. They're kind of trying to just hide LaViska right now, because I guess over the course of the last 2 weeks, it was a lot of, he was lined up. He was kind of that 2B at running back. So like Miles being the one, and then Chuba being 2A and LaViska being 2B out of the backfield, using him in the slot, using him out wide. And I'll talk about this when we talk about receivers, but basically one of the things that Frank Reich mentioned yesterday was that everybody knows there's no alpha here. There's no true number
one. He said that?
Yeah. That was the question that was asked to him was about Hayden Hurst and about where it fits. And then, you know, there's no true clear number one.
Why do you mention Hayden Hurst whenever you're talking about the alphas? Like, just what does that mean?
So the question was from the reporter. The reporter said, you know, Hayden had a great practice today, and then the wide receivers here, how do you explain the difference between what these guys are all doing and getting the football to who and who's the alpha and all these, that was kind of how the question was phrased yesterday. And he basically said, yeah, Hayden's awesome, but as you guys know, you look at this receiving core, there's no true number one. And on every single play, the way it's designed is that every single play, there's a different number one, because all these guys have their own superpowers and we want it that way. We made it that way. That's how, so you, like you have Thielen. Thielen's a great master out of the slot, right? He can play Z, but he's a master of the slot.
So what he's saying, he's like, it's just about the progression. It's about the progression and your order in the progression. Okay.
Correct. Huh. But it's not only about the progression of the play, but it's also about the progression of the game. And like knowing that every single play, it's going to be a different guy that we can focus on that the defense has no idea. Like, you know, Terrace can be on the field, but can be a complete decoy. But then all of a sudden he's the number one, right?
Yeah.
Because they all have a different, like Chark is obviously great, going to be down the field, great. Mingo's great at a bunch of different things, Yak included, whatever, right? Hayden Hurst included. And that's why he brought Hayden Hurst in. But the one thing I know we're kind of just zooming through these positions right now, but that's what he did say was that basically all these guys have their own superpower. And that you'll see as the games go on, as the drives go on, it'll be like a different guy during every game, a different guy during every drive, where, like I bring up LaViska, a lot of backfield work, a lot of slot work, a lot of out wide work. There'll be games probably where he's going to pop, but there'll also be games where he probably doesn't do anything, just based on – it kind of reminded me when he said it yesterday, Frank Reich, of kind of like how New England plays, right? Every week is a new game. Every week is a new kind of game plan. And, you know, maybe this week – the defense is susceptible to getting beat by certain things, so they're going to use a guy like LaViska to beat him, right?
I mean, I'm not sure I would want to rely on LaVisca to beat anybody if it's based on what he's done so far. But I think it goes to prove your point and sort of what Coach Reich was saying, right? It's like there's none of these guys who you can just, you know, you could put your nuts on the table and just say, I'm going to war with this guy, right? They're going to have correct. Different ways that they deploy each of them. Just going back to running backs, just real quick, and we'll wrap it up, and we'll get to wide receivers. Are you comfortable with Miles Sanders still at where I'll pull up the current ADP for PPR. I know about where we're getting him is usually, you know, if he's available there, like the end of the fourth, I usually get him, you know, the 409, 410, stuff like that. You know, hopefully is maybe an RB2 if I go one running back and two wide receivers early. I always want to make sure that that's just where I kind of tend to get him, but I want to make sure that that's right. Miles Sanders, end of the fourth round, his overall ADP right now is 47. So that's right in there. Fourth, fifth round, like in PPR, are you comfortable with that? I mean, and do you see him any differently now vis-a-vis players like, say, Kamara, now that he has the three game suspension, he goes right after him. Guys like Kenneth Walker goes right before him. Damian Pierce, who we've seen looking, you know, real good as far as being involved in the receiving game. All those guys go a little bit before him. You're getting a slight discount compared to like the Damian Pierce, Kenneth Walkers of the world with Miles Sanders, but he is going before Kamara and Rashad White, Madison, these types of guys. Is that an area that you're comfortable with him still?
I think that's a good area for him right next to that Rashad White stuff. I do wish he was closer to, you know, the latter part of the 50s as far as his ADP goes. That would just be a little better value, and that would make me feel a little better about it, obviously, because I trust him to a certain point, but, you know, the health, he's been banged up every year all the time, and if he's healthy, it's going to be great. He's going to be a great RB2 for us. I think what it comes down to is Chuba. Chuba's ADP right now is 200, and he's so clearly the RB2 in this offense that if something happens, like they're gonna lean on Chuba. So I think that's one thing too. Like I know we're drafting a ton of Kendre. The Kareem Hunt thing came and then went, and I don't know what's gonna happen with that. But like we're currently drafting Kendre. We're currently drafting Roshan. Like I think Chuba's a guy that we should definitely be, because it's the same kind of idea.
Be considering in that same kind of mix.
But not
Tyjae Spears kind of area and stuff.
Correct. Yeah. I was going to say not quite into the Kendre Roshan
Ty
area.
Ty Chandler.
Obviously. More so, I would rather have Chuba than I think a Tyjae or a Ty Chandler. That's kind of where that aligns right now.
No, yeah, that's a good point.
The usage is and it's out of the backfield too. It's not just, you know, oh, give Chuba the ball. Like he's catching passes too. So, and I think that circles right back to Bryce Young, right? Bryce Young is keeping everything short, nice next to the line of scrimmage, and both these running backs are catching the ball out of the backfield. So I think both are going to be – I think Chuba's a massive value right now, obviously, but I think Miles Sanders is a good price, I would say.
Why does Hayden Hurst come up when you talk about wide receivers?
Because he's a dude. He's – I guess Frank Reich basically said yesterday, he was asked about the tight end room and how it's progressed. Tight end is a very, very interesting topic with this team. Obviously they have Ian Thomas who signed a big contract. And then I think it was about a year, 2 years ago. And then he restructured, came back down, and they drafted Tommy Tremble. They got Hayden Hurst. Steven Sullivan is there, the big athletic guy. They like him, but he's just, the room is actually it's a pretty strong room, right? They like Ian Thomas. The one thing that came out was that their current tight end coach, I think his name's like Lasley or Leslie, I can't remember. And he came in and he's been a breath of fresh air to this tight end room is really what was told to me today. And that is because with Matt Rhule here, all Matt Rhule wanted to do was run the football. And all he wanted was these tight ends to block. He didn't want these tight ends to pass catch. Supposedly they weren't really, you know, helping the tight ends in the receiving game or even coaching them to do anything in the receiving game. It was all just, hey, your job's to block. And I think that's why we kind of saw the Ian Thomas and Tommy Tremble thing kind of stay stagnant the last year or two. Right. And now this new tight end coach comes in and everyone, you know, they're all learning, and Tommy Tremble looks great. Tommy Tremble's working in with the ones. Hayden Hurst is a slot. He's out wide. He's lined up in line. Hayden Hurst, literally, as Frank Reich said, when he's talking about the tight end room, he goes, Ian Thomas, Tommy Tremble, and of course we got our dude. And he didn't even say Hayden Hurst. He said, of course we got our dude. And that was just the end of the sentence. And everybody in the tent just knew who he was talking about. And it was Hayden Hurst. And Hayden Hurst had just he came and he was on the press conference today. And his mentality, his urgency, everything was just like dialed in. It was Brian Burns was up there, and obviously Brian Burns is the leader of the defense. And Hurst was up there, and Hurst almost had like that vibe, like he is the leader of the offense. This offense is going to run through Hayden Hurst almost. And he's a security blanket. Adam Thielen's a great security blanket, but I think Hayden Hurst is a security blanket plus a threat.
You want to win your fantasy draft? No, I mean, like, really. Do you really, really, really want to win your fantasy draft? Because you can win your fantasy draft with the RosterWatch Ultimate Draft Cheat Sheet, available at rosterwatch.com. It's the revolutionary cheat sheet that changed fantasy football forever, and it's the only tool you'll need this draft season. You've heard Roster Watch live on SiriusXM Radio here on the podcasts from all the NFL training camps. Now, all you have to do is follow the three simple rules at the top of the sheet of paper using the Roster Watch cheat sheet. That's it. Three rules. An extra quality draft is guaranteed if you follow the three simple rules. Guys, it couldn't be easier. The Roster Watch Ultimate Draft Cheat Sheet. You can't afford to draft without it. It's available now and only at rosterwatch.com. We talked about it on the SiriusXM show, Cody. Remember that Hayden Hurst interview that we found? Yeah. We dug up on one of those, like, Carolina, I don't know, Insider or something, like, you know, one of these just Panther sites, where he had an availability where he talked about, you know, he's just so in love with this scheme because of the tight end's always the first read down in the red zone, and, you know, down in the end zone, he's looking forward to getting the extra looks and stuff like that. He has the opportunity to be the primary read in a lot of situations. And it sounds like it's more of a drumbeat to me for Hayden Hurst, and certainly a guy who on the most recent version 5.1 of the PPR and the Superflex cheat sheets. And I know Byron was getting the information from you to update the standard cheat sheet to version 2.0. I think Hurst is going to be a guy that we're gonna have to move up to be a late round consideration guy. Do you at this point prefer Hayden Hurst over any of the talented rookies like Dalton Kincaid, Sam Laporta, these types of players? I mean, I think after hearing this from you, he belongs above the Irv Smiths of the world. But I don't know about Kincaid, Laporta. I know you love Musgrave, these kinds of players.
I tell you where, honestly, I think above Irv, yes. When you talk about all these tight ends, Musgrave's had a great camp. I wish I could get eyes on Musgrave. But I just hate Green Bay so bad. I don't know if I could ever stomach going over there. But Kincaid looks like he's going to be kind of in that similar role, right? He's going to be playing slot. He's going to be playing out wide. He's going to be playing in line in Buffalo. And that offense is potent. Mm-hmm. And they kind of need a two to step up. And I think he can.
That's what
I wouldn't mind having, like, Kincaid and Hurst back to back.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. So Kincaid and Hurst back to back ahead of Irv, ahead of all these rookies, just Kincaid and Hurst. I think that's kind of how I would prefer it if I'm being straight on, because I think that Hurst has the ability. What came up with it, I was like, God, he is the Kelsey, the Andrews of this offense. Not saying he's obviously on that level, but again, he was a first round pick, but he's like that important to this offense. And they're kind of starved of an alpha, right? They're trying to get Terrace to become an alpha, and it's taken too much time. It hasn't happened. And putting Mingo in there, they need somebody to, and it's Hurst. Straight up.
So what about the wide receivers? Just how were they lining up? Who was the first group? Who was the second group? How did they look? What sort of roles were they playing?
All right. So let's see here. The first set, and this is what they ran all day yesterday, was Mingo at X, Chark at Z, Thielen in the slot. They ran quite a bit of trips with Hurst in between Thielen and Chark. Between Thielen and Mingo, they put those guys on the one side, and then Charcoal alone on the opposite side.
Were they doing a Z motion out of the trips?
No, just straight up. And so that was their three. It was Chark, Thielen, Mingo. They had Hurst buckled in there, and then Tremble made his way in there a little bit. But that was the three. All, like, every time, and I refer to that as the ones, and then the twos were Marshall at X, Visca, and Shy. And Visca was going between slot and Z, and Shy was going between slot and Z. And the only other receiver, other than Mingo, Thielen, and Chark, that went in with that first platoon was Shy. Shy went in for one rep over Chark. I don't know why Chark came out, but it might have been a ding up or whatever. But Viska and Marshall, neither of them took a rep yesterday with the ones. And then, of course, Viska didn't practice today. But today against the Jets, Marshall worked a little bit in with that first group. But Mingo was the guy that had the good practice today. And then,
if Mingo's the starting X, does he look good? Does he look good?
Yeah, yesterday was Marshall's day. Yesterday, Marshall looked good with the twos. And then today was the joint practice. And I was trying to flow between two fields. But I saw a couple of good plays from Mingo. But the big takeaway from everybody was that this was Mingo's day. This was the day of Mingo. And I saw a couple of nice crossing routes that he made. He had a nice 10-yard out route on the two-minute drill. That's what you want, you know what I'm saying, going down the field. And my big takeaway was literally just the Mingo Marshall thing. Like, Marshall's been in this offense for whatever, it's a new offense, but he's been on this team for a year, and Mingo comes in.
Isn't it 2 years now? Maybe it's not. I could be wrong about that. Feels like was Terrace a rookie last year? I thought he was a rookie the year before.
It was 21. It was 21, right?
Yeah.
So it's 2 years. He's got 2 years in.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's been here for a couple of years, and then Mingo comes in and just from the jump takes it. And it was just weird. The dynamic of the reporters hate, they just not a fan of Mingo, and they love Marshall.
Well, that's why we go to do this. It's like that because they're going to keep telling us that Terrace Marshall's set to explode and he's running with the twos. And yeah, and to them, if he's just running with Bryce Young when that second platoon comes in, then they're going to say he's with the ones, but he's not, because that means Shai Smith is with the ones.
So then you add the Shai Smith thing in. I'm not sure he's going to make the roster. There's you know, he was part of that rule regime, and he just there's no special team spot for him, and there's other guys. There's a Derek Wright. You might not know who Derek Wright is. And just a little guy, he's a Wes Welker. That's what he is. And I think I wrote his number down maybe 7 or 8 times. I have to go back and count through this book, but I think I wrote his number down 7 or 8 times in 2 practices, just based on third down crossing.
Who is this?
Derek Wright.
Okay, so that's a preseason DFS name.
Yeah,
he's been looking good, and he's a little bit buried, and they're probably going to want to see more of him here in the first week.
Yeah,
so keep that name in mind for the DFS stuff. All right. Any other major takeaways for Panthers, or we can talk about Jets?
Not really. I would say that's probably it.
Anything about the defense?
I mean, the defense is Justin Houston had his first practice today. Yesterday he had a presser, and then he came out today, and he was just kind of first day in pads. He didn't do too much, but he was working in there a little bit. Burns is unbelievable. Burns is going to be – He just like he don't even have to put much effort in, you know, for the throw to practice, and that's like go live, and it's like you can't block him.
Yeah,
and his number right now, I think I tweeted it out. It was either 10.75 or 11.75 for sacks, and he's kind of playing in a new role right now where he's playing more stand up, where he's gonna be dropping back into coverage a little bit and rushing the passer, and he's just like a reporter asked him, you know, your brother tweeted out that this is what you were built for, and he's like. He just kind of chuckled and he's like, yeah, man, I don't know. I was built for this. And that was just all he said. And I was just this is a menace right here. And then there's kind of thought that a lot of people think this is a top 10 defense and there's a lot of talent on it, right? Deion Jones is there. You don't even like recognize Deion Jones.
You forget Deion Jones. I'd actually forgotten that until you just said his name.
Shaq Thompson looks all right. Like the defensive line is strong. Derek Brown's there. Justin Houston. But the thing is like if there's any injuries, they might be in some trouble. But they're definitely looked at as a top 10 defense. But the kind of the vibe around there isn't. But they did shut down Rodgers today in a 2 minute drill to end practice in the scrimmage, 3 and out. And then they also shut down Zach Wilson, 3 and out. The second team did. So, I mean, they did good, but again, it's,
they got good players.
The back end is so nasty.
I just pulled up their roster. It's like, you look at all together, like Jeremy Chin, like they got like JC Horn.
The back end's sick.
Yeah. Von Bell. I mean, Dante Jackson was a first round pick, second round pick.
CJ Henderson was a first round pick when he was traded there.
That's what I was thinking. Let's go to that's a good transition to the Jets. So obviously the two premier guys that we would be talking about for fantasy would be Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson, but neither of them practiced today, right?
Correct. The Breece Hall had a helmet on. He went through individual and then he just kind of stood around, and then Garrett Wilson had no pads, no helmet, just chilling.
Was there, and of course, Garrett Wilson, they're saying that they're expecting him back sometime next week. He's still out from that low ankle that he had earlier in the preseason. And plus, once you have a scare with a guy like Garrett Wilson, you're probably not going to get him out too much anymore anyway.
I wouldn't. Yeah, that's kind of the vibe we got, was that I was just like, no. They started to see what he had, and like they're probably going to wait until there's, you know, no media practices and there's no crowd, all this stuff. And they're just going to be back in New York doing everyday practice before they bring him back. And
yeah, once they shut down the media and start doing install for week one is when they're going to. That's just what coaches.
There's no reason not to. Like he's in shape. He's everything there. It's just yeah.
So what did you get any vibes about what they thought about Breece Hall? Just anything that you got from the way you saw him walk or the way you saw him move, or did, like, was there anything to take away from just being around Breece Hall today, or anything the media might have said, or anything that could give us a clue as to his level of readiness?
No, there really wasn't a ton. I mean, the Jets. It was tough because you're like, hey, see if you can, you know, talk to Garrett Wilson. I was like, these guys literally, their locker room was like on the other end of the building, and they all took golf carts to practice. They just zoomed right past everybody, and then way out, zoomed right past everybody. And you couldn't even hardly.
New York City, man. They're these coastal elites, dude. They don't have time for you South Carolina folks, dude.
Rogers came over to do the presser, and I got to shake his hand, but he said, nah. But but yeah, I mean, it was Garrett Wilson was no opportunity. And Breece, he looks fine on the surface, but I mean, again, we didn't get to see much of anything. You want to talk about the running backs? Like that's
yeah. Well, no, I mean, yeah. Let's. But like, what about Rodgers too? I mean, what about Rodgers? Does it just look like Aaron Rodgers?
I mean, come on, dude. I mean, it was like the first thing was like 7-on-7. I think he was like 9-for-9.
Yeah.
And he was hitting like Nick Bawden down the seam. He was hitting CJ Uzama. CJ Uzama had just a disgusting.
Were the hard knocks cameras rolling
all day?
I wonder if you're going to get a photo bomb in on one of these
episodes. I was thinking about streaking in there for a minute there.
so there's a good CJ Uzama catch.
There was a good CJ. I mean, he's a big dude, but he went, the one pass that should have been incomplete during this session was whoa. And he comes down with it. And I was, ooh, everyone said, ooh, there's a lot of Jets fans there too. But but it was a weird usage of like Nick Bawden. Nick Bawden rode to practice this fullback 45. Rode to practice with Rodgers on the golf cart, and I was like, didn't think much of it. And then Rodgers targeted him like three times on like random, you know, escape. Oh, there's a white fullback run down the seam. Bang, hit him. It's kind of like the John Kuhn of this offense, I guess you'd say. If you remember John Kuhn from about a decade ago,
or the Kyle Juszczyk.
Or the Juszczyk, there you go too. Not quite as athletic as Juszczyk, but yeah, same ordeal there. And the Jets offense. As far as receivers go, we got down to the red zone early. They did a lot of red zone work to start. I think there was six passes. The first six passes that Rodgers had, three of them were to Lazard for touchdowns. And then a couple were to
Right when I make the moves to move him down the cheat sheet because we hated getting him so much there.
Looks good. He looks good.
So do I got to get him back? I got to get him back in consideration there?
I don't know. That's the thing. It's like I was thinking, I was like, damn, we just talked about this. But then I'm like, Garrett Wilson's right there.
Yeah.
Breece Hall's right there.
You know, my whole thing with Lazard was like, I know that Garrett Wilson's going to be the main guy, but like he wanted Lazard brought in for a reason, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be, you're going to get a lot of Uzama touchdowns. You're going to get a lot of Lazard touchdowns. It's just really between the 20s is where you make your fantasy points more so than, right?
And was Conklin hurt?
Conklin was there. He just was. Not a lot. There just wasn't a ton.
That's a tale of two training camps.
Yeah.
You remember last training camp we had, who was it? Yeah, man. Do you know what it was? It was actually Mike Kay, who's now covering the Panthers. This is his first year doing it, I think, because last year he had just gotten off the Philadelphia beat and he was covering the
Jags.
He's just right. No, because I think Kay was with the Jags and he goes to Philadelphia. And then he got off the beat for a little while for that, but he still lived in the Philly area, so he was covering Jets Jets practices. You can go back in the podcast feed and listen whenever he said that he's going to be top five tight end last season. Clearly he didn't turn into one, but that's how big he was going last year. And you're saying that you're, as far as tight ends, you're just seeing CJ Uzomah looking more involved.
Raj is Raj, dude. He spreads the ball around. It's just the connection. Cobb didn't do shit either. Cobb was there. He just didn't do it. I mean, there was a couple balls that were thrown to him, but they were incomplete. But really it was Uzomah that I saw a lot of and Lazard. And to me, it's like, what do I take away from that? Right. Wilson's not there. Like, we think Wilson's going to get that hog molly target share that Devontae did, but the more he misses practices, the more this Lazard thing is only going to be like ingrained in Rodgers' head of like, hey, I did this for how many years in Green Bay? I'm just going to keep on doing it. Lazard's there. And then Wilson's going to come in and yeah, they're going to build the rapport, but they're losing days. They're losing reps. So
should Amon Ra St. Brown be ahead of Garrett Wilson in both formats?
Yeah, I think Amon Ra's going to be a savage, dude.
Well, I've been struggling with that, you know, because that ADP just flipped, and I was thinking about getting right with that ADP, and so I think I'm going to do that.
It's like I hate being like, yo, anti Garrett Wilson, because Garrett Wilson's going to be a dog, but I mean, Goff's not going to. There's not enough people up there to spread the ball around how Rodgers can. Gibbs is there, cool, but like,
he doesn't have his old wide receivers coming in with him that are like other dudes he's worked with the whole time, and he's probably gonna want to get them to, you know, get to the last 3 weeks of the season. Lazard's gonna tell him like, hey, dude, if I get up to this number of catches, I get $1 million bonus. Like, he's gonna feed Lazard.
And you look at one, like I just mentioned, the touchdown thing. Like, how many times have we looked at, I think it was like, what, Deontay Johnson last year, who had no touchdowns? I'm not saying Garrett Wilson's not going to have any touchdowns, but you look at how he finished last year, it's like he had zero touchdowns. Okay, he's averaged 7 through his career. If he had like 4, he would have been 10 spots higher in rankings. It's like that can happen when you have a Lazard who's 6'4", a Uzomah who's 6'7", a Conklin. You have these running backs that move out of the back. Like, that can happen for a guy like Wilson where he maybe goes for 1,200, 1,300 yards, but the touchdowns are low, and then that just brings him down a little bit, right? That's just a natural thought in my head.
What about the running backs behind Breece Hall? Because in the Hall of Fame game, they held out Michael Carter. I'm 99% sure they held out Zonovan Knight.
Yep.
Because it was a lot of Travis Dye. It was a lot of, Izzy Abanikanda. So how did those guys look? What does the pecking order look like with the running backs? It would seem to me that, you know, the fact that Carter was held out and that Zonovan was held out means they're kind of still ahead. And could we see an Izzy Abanikanda kind of breakout here? I'm not pinning any hopes to Travis Dye from USC.
Travis Dye, I would venture to bet money he's probably not going to make the roster. I think he took one rep all day at running back, as far as being in team 7-on-7, 11-on-11. Michael Carter got the first carry. Zonovan Knight came in for the next play, got a dump off left, inside run, Zonovan Knight, Abanikanda got a carry. Then it was Michael Carter, Zonovan, Michael Carter, Zonovan, Michael Carter twice, Michael Carter again, Zonovan, no Abanikanda. That's how it went. And Michael Carter looks good. Used him a lot on the backfield. They used him a lot on the inside zone.
We have to apologize to Byron
But I will say, as far as the pure running look, the pure running stance looks, Zonovan is the better running back. But as far as being the all-purpose guy, Michael Carter, I think, is going to be the guy that opens up. They trust him, right? He's been there for a couple of years. He's a young MC. He's the dude. He's going to get his opportunities. He's going to catch a lot of passes, I think. But if Breece plays, he's going to be in the Aaron Jones role, and Breece will be in the AJ Dillon role plus. You know, so it's not going to be like verbatim, right? It's not going to be MC's Aaron Jones, but it's going to be like a light version of that, and then Breece will be like a maxed version of AJ Dillon. But Zonovan looked really good, so I think they're content with
Zonovan.
Wouldn't it be more like
Breece is the Christian McCaffrey, and
we're talking Rodgers, like we're talking Rodgers,
Carter's the Elijah Mitchell. Sure. Something like that. That because I
different
don't think
different types, but yeah, right. I mean, that's the same idea. Yeah. But I was more so going for like what Rodgers had in Green Bay last year compare like backfield targets, backfield carries, touches, et cetera, et cetera. That's why I compared the two. But I think they're content. Like you said, Cook left, and the Cook thing is completely fizzled out. Zonovan looks fine. And Izzy, of course, he had a good game the other day. Izzy didn't get a ton of reps. I have 6 out of probably 28 to 30 backfield touches.
Without opportunities. Brees?
No. With Izzy. Brees didn't do anything.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If that's without Brees, imagine what
so it was like. Like 6 for Izzy, and then it was – I don't know. I have to count these numbers up, but it's somewhere in the lines of like, I would say like 55 to 45 in favor of Carter.
With the remainder.
Yeah.
Okay. So what does that if we don't get Brees, the better play is going to be Carter, at least to start. Yeah.
So that's like what 50 Carter, 35 Zonovan, and then 15 Izzy. That's where the split was at today.
55.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Okay. Unless you're out there just giving it 105% like Cody Carpentier always is, right? All right. All great info, Cody. Anything else that you want to get out? I just have a couple final questions, and then unless there's anything specific that you want to get out as far as Jets.
Let's see. I got to go through here quick. I think the tight end room. Let's see here. No, that's
what about preseason guys for the Jets? Any preseason guys?
Dude, you know who didn't do a damn thing?
What about Jason Brownlee and stuff? Who? I don't know.
I didn't see much from Brownlee at all today.
Okay.
Mecole Hardman.
Huh.
Mecole Hardman didn't do – I mean, did you watch Hard Knocks? Was he in Hard Knocks at all?
I watched Hard Knocks, man, but that thing, it didn't – I did put the kids down and stuff. It was a little bit late at night, so I think I kind of dozed off a little bit towards the end, man. I wasn't paying super, super close attention, as I sometimes do.
I think people would hate me if I told them, but I'm going to tell them anyway. I'm like terrible at watching stuff. And like a Hard Knocks, for example, it comes out like, once a week.
Yeah.
Like I can't watch it. I have to wait till like the last one's out, and then I'll just binge it all in one night. Like you can't leave me hanging. Like
it's part of your job to be keeping up with this, with these camps though.
Wait till that last baby's out, and then I'll binge them all, and I'll be good. But
so was Hardman, I guess we should have hit this. Like was Hardman not even with the first group?
Hardman was not with the first group. And then Corey Davis was just – he was just there. They actually brought him for the presser, but he made a couple catches. And Corey Davis. Corey Davis was out with that first group. And I'm trying to find my alignments that I wrote down for the Jets.
Because they have Corey Davis, they have Lazard, they have Hardman, they have Randall Cobb, Malik Taylor from this year, Jason Brownlee from this year. Is Alex Erickson kicking around that roster?
He did about the same amount as Hardman today.
And then Cobb.
No tight end yet. And I put no tight ends really worth rostering. That's one of my notes from the Jets. Uzama made some catches, like I said, but I just don't think any of these guys are worth rostering as far as fantasy football goes.
Okay.
I thought I wrote these alignments and I can't find them. Oh, there it is.
I mean, Corey Davis was at the X.
Yep. 84. And then they had 32, this is 2 minute. They had Conklin, 18 and 10. So that was Lazard, Cobb, Conklin, and Trips left, and Corey Davis out right, and then Rodgers with MC. And they went three and out. They had a dump off to Carter, a sack, incomplete to Cobb, punt. That was their 2 minute, and they got shut out by the Panthers defense.
All right. So final question, just out of the whole couple days, Panthers, Jets, your biggest takeaway for fantasy football from this whole trip?
My biggest takeaway from the Carolina Panthers or the Jets in training camp was that Hayden Hurst needs to be respected like an alpha. He's making that mid-career breakout, that big mid-career breakout after multiple stops, Cincinnati, Baltimore, Atlanta. He is the lifeblood of this offense in Carolina. He's going to be a top 10 tight end. Easy top 10 tight end in fantasy football this year, maybe top 6. And Terrace Marshall will never break out.